This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.
Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Today, of course, with Layla Mudin, who is our nutritionist in residence. So we work together on a daily basis at our practice here on the west side of Manhattan. We're taking your questions. What's our next question?
Okay, we have an email from Elaine. I love your radio program, and I've been listening for years, Dr. Hoffman. Also get your newsletter. I would like to know if I'm absorbing my vitamins. How can I tell? What would be the best thing to take or to do to absorb them better? I take many vitamins, but sometimes I think I'm not absorbing them and I'm wasting my money.
Okay. This has been sort of a very central question to mm-hmm. the field of nutrition ever since I've been in the field of nutrition. Mm. And at one point early in my career, a lab came out with a test that purported to tell you basically all your vitamin levels. You know, B1, B2, B3, B4, B5, B6, B12. Mm-hmm. Biotin and, all the minerals. Mm-hmm. And in some way, they made the test cheap. So it was like the $99 test that would tell you everything. And so I was excited and I did it on virtually everyone. Mm-hmm. And what happened was the vast majority of people turned out normal. Mm-hmm. Which kind of makes sense because if people are coming to see me, we're preaching to the choir, basically.
Yeah.
People who eat well, take vitamins, are going to be in the normal range.
Yeah.
So it was rare to find a true deficiency. Now, where we can sometimes find true deficiencies is by looking at B12, where you malabsorb,
yes.
or you're on a really, very vegan diet, mm-hmm. or vitamin D, where there's not many dietary sources of vitamin D. Or you're eating a super crappy diet, you could have a deficiency of essential fatty acids.
Yes.
But
magnesium.
Mostly people who mm-hmm. eat a balanced diet and supplement are in the normal range.
Yeah.
And so what they then did is they created ranges of optimal. So like, okay, this is normal, but optimal would be more. But more isn't always better.
Yeah.
So it's very hard to create the standards for what is normal.
Mm-hmm.
If you use the average American for a standard, you'd have a horrible test because the average American gets piddly uh-huh. amounts of nutrients, eats
That's
junk
true.
Food, and doesn't take vitamins.
Right.
So it's controversial. Also, some tests may reflect levels, but they don't reflect whether you're getting enough.
Huh.
Because it's under certain circumstances, you may need more.
Mm-hmm.
An example of which might be vitamin B12
yes.
in someone suffering from fatigue. If they have normal levels, maybe they need injections of B12 and they'll feel better.
Exactly.
But then their doctor will say, oh my God, your vitamin B12 levels are too high. Stop those injections. But those higher levels make the patient energized or help them with neuropathy or something
yes.
like that.
Yes.
So it gets complicated.
Mm-hmm.
So what ended up happening in the lab is the lab ultimately got busted because they were doing some kind of, fancy dance with insurance, and the insurance companies got fed up with paying, for a very expensive test
wow.
that they didn't think was valuable, and there was like a meltdown and it was disappeared.
And that was over. Okay.
Right. Now, we can still do tests like that.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to be, they're not $99, they're expensive, and they're of limited utility. I don't often do those tests. I'll do that sometimes when the patient says, no holds barred, I just want to know everything. I'm here to optimize, and I want to know everything. So fine, I do that test.
Okay.
Or alternatively, somebody who has, I really have reason to suspect that they have an abysmal diet, or very restricted diet, or they've got some kind of absorption problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like maybe they've had a piece of their intestine removed.
Right.
Or they have...
They have inflammatory bowel disease.
Yeah.
They have celiac disease.
Yeah.
They're not absorbing.
Exactly. So, you know, those are situations where we might say, yeah, let's test everything and see, you know, we see any major gaps.
Yeah.
So I'm selective about that.
Yeah.
But it's of limited value in a relatively healthy person to tell you whether you're absorbing your vitamins.
Right. Elaine, I would also, you know, how do you feel? Are you energized? Do you have a spring in your step? I don't know how old Elaine is, but, you know, how are your bowels? What is the frequency of your bowels? Do you suffer with any kind of chronic constipation or diarrhea? This warrants a further look into... You might have some malabsorption issues or something like that.
Right.
But beyond that, getting levels checked of vitamin D, vitamin B12, maybe magnesium, even the red blood cell magnesium, which isn't the best, but
you know,
it's something.
The problem is you have to be pretty damn sick to have a low magnesium level per the tests that are available.
Yeah.
And to show you how sick I was when I broke my leg, and I tell this story frequently, is when I broke my leg, I was in the shock of trauma, you know, trauma produces shock. And that causes you to really deplete your magnesium. So in the hospital, I actually had, by their standards, their very unrigorous standards, low magnesium. I told them to give me magnesium from the day I was in.
Yeah.
And it took 3 days for them to perform the test that said, oh, you need some magnesium. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. And I remember the bottles of Ensure that kept accumulating on your table.
To the point where I couldn't see the TV anymore. They said, they kept asking, do you want to see the nutritionist? I finally, because I am a nutritionist too. I want to see the nutritionist. No, I didn't want to see the nutritionist.
Yeah.
But finally I said, yes, please send the nutritionist. Uh-huh. And the nutritionist came in and said, she's all excited. Like, I finally wanted to see her.
Yeah.
And I said, yes, you can do something for me. I said, gritting my teeth through the pain. I said, please take all these damn Ensure cans off my table.
Yeah.
Because I can't see the TV. And I don't have room for the nice food that all my friends and relatives are bringing me.
Bravo.
Because they went to these really good restaurants and got me, you know, really healthy food.
Good, good. Oh, my goodness.
So that's the best thing you can do for a hospitalized patient is bring them some food.
Bring them some food.
Right?
Absolutely.
Real food. Real food.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay, so... Elaine, we hope that answers your question. All right. You also want to make sure that your supplements are of good quality. You want to make sure that
that's true.
You're not getting junk in your vitamins, any fillers, binders, or anything like that. So you want to make sure your sourcing is also reputable.
Let me put in a plug. We use FullScript because on FullScript, the products are very carefully vetted, and I further vet them to make my own personal recommendations among the thousands of products that are made available there.
Mm-hmm.
I have my own personal recommendations for certain conditions. So you might look up, say, anxiety, or you might look up anti-inflammatory, or you might look up cardiovascular, or you might look up bones and joints.
Mm-hmm.
And there, I list the products that I think are legit and that are that I prefer, because there are many brands to choose from. And, you know, you get what you pay for to some extent in this field. Because it's very, you know, if you say, oh, yeah, you know, Dr. Hoffman tells me I should take this really fancy fish oil. It costs like $39.95. But I see at Costco, I can get that for like $9.99. So, you know,
that's... You're not getting the same product.
Right.
You're getting an inferior product. So.
It's a good point at which to pause because we want to share this message from one of our sponsors. So here goes.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Okay, thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make this podcast possible as a free resource to you. So let's get back to our questions.
Ah, we've got a question here from Don. I've recently completed 2 months on sulfameth TMP.
Which is also known as Bactrim.
Mm-hmm. This was to treat a UTI, urinary tract infection, that is threatening my kidneys. The infection returned in 4 days. What course should my urologist take now? Is there a different practitioner that I should see to cure me of this disease? Over a long period of time and two doctors, I have been on five mm-hmm. antibiotic regimens with the infection returning each time. This is a little scary.
This is ominous. This is ominous because actually it's ominous not just on an individual level. It's ominous on a global level because the World Health Organization, the self-same group that tells you that you should eat less meat, but you know, they a broken clock is right at least a couple of times a day. And they say, I'm just being facetious here, but they say that there is a looming global health crisis because of antibiotic resistance. Mm. And that we just cannot make antibiotics fast enough to keep up with the resourcefulness of the bacteria in developing resistance. Mm. And so, you know, the urologist has to just keep culturing your urine and keep testing your urine. It's called a culture insensitivity against ever more powerful antibiotics. Uh-huh. Now, I got some insights into this recently because I interviewed a lady who wrote a book called Big Chicken. And, you know, it's like Big Sugar and Big Tobacco. There is Big Chicken. It's the chicken manufacturers. And the chicken manufacturers for decades since World War II have been using lots of antibiotics in chicken feed. And then this is pervasive in many forms of animal husbandry, is the use of antibiotics because they make the chickens heavier. And they also help the chickens survive under conditions that are really abysmal. Mm-hmm. You know, they're thrown together, diseases are rampant. So they just feed them antibiotics.
They're in each other's feces. Yeah.
And the net result of that is that that's a perfect setup for developing antibiotic resistance. So what happens? Well, you eat the chicken and maybe you don't get food poisoning. You don't get one of the salmonella, or you don't get a serious life-threatening E. coli infection, or even just a little food poisoning diarrhea. Mm-hmm. But, or maybe you just handle the chicken and you're careless and a little bit gets on your skin surface, or maybe you taste something, you know, something you don't properly wipe off your fingers and you lick your fingers and you get some of that in you. And is this a male or female? This is a male.
This is a male.
Yeah.
Don.
Well, particularly in women, anatomically, there's not a lot of real estate between your gastrointestinal tract outlet and your urinary tract inlet.
Yes.
And so
it's in the same zip code.
Exactly. So there's very close proximity. And so you say, well, how do those bacteria find its way into my bladder? Well, just think about it. So you may not get sick from the food that you eat, but you may culture impossible to treat bacterial infections. Mm-hmm. So another way that they're looking at this is since they cannot figure out how to kill these bacteria.
Frightening.
For a bacterium to cause problems in the urinary tract, it has to attach. It's kind of like if you're going down, one of those slide chutes, you know, those water slides.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you're just going to go right down the water slide, you know, and if that's a bacteria, the bacteria is just going to go right out into the toilet. It's got to adhere to the wall.
That slide has to be sticky.
Sticky. And there is something called pili, which are little fingers.
Finger-like projections.
Finger-like projections on bacteria that adhere to the epithelium of the bladder. So a lot of the research now is, what can we do to prevent adherence? And it turns out there's some natural things to do to prevent adherence. You can use D-mannose, and that's available over the counter. You can go to FullScript and you can order the powder, you can order the capsules, but you have to take a fair amount. You have to take about half teaspoon 3 or 4 times a day.
Yes, mixed in water.
Mm-hmm. Mixed in water. It's rather sweet, so it's palatable. And or take maybe 12 pills a day in this instance. And that may help to reduce the adherence of the bacteria to the wall. Which is another, so you don't kill the bacteria. This D-mannose doesn't kill the bacteria. It just prevents the adherence.
Yeah.
And it is effective sometimes in preventing infection. So, you know, presumably this guy gets some benefit from the antibiotics. They just keep, there are a few bacteria left that then repopulate the urinary tract. And you can prevent the adherence. And it may be that we won't, because there's so much bacterial resistance, antibiotic resistance, that we may not be able to kill all the bacteria, but at least maybe we can keep them from adhering. Because once they adhere, there's this thing called a biofilm. And it's like, it's sort of like the way
it encases itself in.
I noticed that here in New York, you know, there are a lot of homeless people.
Yeah.
And there are certain blocks where, you know, first you see one pop up. And then for some reason you see another couple pop up. And pretty soon there's a whole row of homeless people there. And I say, ooh, that's like a biofilm. It's like they form like a colony there, you know? And, you know, there's something about that, and the bacteria behave in a similar fashion. So, if we can keep that.
It's survival of the fittest.
Well, the biofilm actually is another reason for antibiotic resistance, because with a biofilm, the bacteria is sort of encased in a kind of a carapace.
Yeah.
Or a protective shell that resists your own immune system, but it also resists, it's hard for antibiotics to penetrate. The antibiotics have to be at a much higher concentration to penetrate into the biofilm. So that's another reason for a problem. So, so in the future, they're going to work on anti-biofilm techniques. I read an article for a scientific journal on the subject. They are also going to work on anti-adhesion strategies. Because, hey, guess what? Drug companies can't make a lot of money on D-mannose. So they're going to cook up something that's
xylitol.
Or xylitol, which is good for the biofilms in your mouth and in your nasal passages. Yeah. Marvelous for that. I had a very good case of a gal, and you saw her too, who had LPR, laryngopharyngeal reflux. And I said, I think it's coming from your nose. Take Clear. And she tried everything in the world before that. And she came back and she's, you cured me.
Yeah.
It's like I do four sprays a day, and whatever gunk was coming from the back of my nose into my throat, it seems to have dissipated.
Yeah. That was wonderful.
Yeah.
That was very gratifying. And, you know, it was the method of first do no harm. It was xylitol. It was Clear nasal spray, among a few other supplements and things that helped her out.
Now, xylitol works in the nasal passages as a spray. It works in the mouth as a chewing gum or a lozenge or a mouthwash. It works in the gastrointestinal tract. If you drink it, you know, take it as a sugar, it will actually prevent biofilms from forming. Say you're concerned about having bad bacteria in your gut that are in a biofilm or yeast, but it doesn't get to the urinary tract. So mannose, which is it's also a sugar.
Yeah. A good sugar.
Yeah. Well, actually, xylitol is a sugar alcohol.
It's a sugar
Mannose is a form of sugar.
Right. The thing about xylitol in the intestinal tract is if you go over a certain threshold, it will cause diarrhea.
Right.
So it's, well, some of that could be the bacteria leaving, biofilm and all. But xylitol has been shown to cleave those biofilms where antibiotics can't get. People who have chronic sinus infections are taking rounds and rounds of antibiotics. They find that they're cured using Clear nasal spray on a regular basis.
You know, it's also a biofilm breaker is EDTA, which is what's used in chelation therapy. And I wonder if that might be helpful for given intravenously for patients with Lyme disease.
Wow.
Or a biofilm might protect the spirochetes. That's a possibility.
There was a supplemental enzyme, Interphase.
Right.
I think
Interphase
is,
that's a product on FullScript. It's for people who have stubborn biofilms in their gastrointestinal tract. They're having trouble getting rid of candida or dysbiosis.
Yeah. Fascinating stuff. Don, we hope you feel better soon. Wow.
So I think that's all the time that we have for today. And we've exhausted this week's mailbag. So send your questions to a radio program at AOL.com. That's the destination for questions related to medicine and nutrition. And we invite you to check out all our other resources. Layla does a podcast. I do several a week. We've done some great interviews lately. We did a great one on SIBO. just last week with the go-to person on SIBO, Allison Seebecker, had some very interesting insights to share. And there was a SIBO conference that was ongoing last week. I think people could still get access to it to learn more about small intestine bacterial overgrowth. Then we also did Keto for Cancer, which is fascinating.
Yeah.
And we did one on human sexuality as well. So check out our podcasts. Go to drhoffman.com, download the podcast, or subscribe to them via Stitcher, iTunes, or your favorite podcast service. Alternatively, you can subscribe to our newsletter. Which is free.
Mm-hmm.
I encourage you to do so. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're getting the word out in a variety of ways here on Intelligent Medicine. So thanks for joining us. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is, together with Layla Mutin, the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.